listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to another episode, I love that word, episode of A Biblical Response. And as you know, you've been listening for a while. We take a look at stuff in the news through the lens of the Bible. And we will talk about what we're seeing in some detail so you get an idea what's going on. You may, most of the time, you're looking at what's going on to some degree. You're following some news outlet or whatever, depending. Hopefully you're following ones that are more in line with what's going on, the truth, and instead of some of the fantastic stuff that some of the legacy media is doing. But anyway, so today we're going to be looking at, we're going to start at least with something that's in the news, and that's that the IRS has recently or will be changing its rules. I'm understanding that's not fully solidified yet in terms of policy, but it will be moving to change rules allowing churches to endorse political candidates without risking their tax-exempt status, effectively lifting the restrictions imposed by the Johnson Amendment. Johnson, familiar name in American politics, President Lyndon Johnson, who, when he was a senator in 1954, co-sponsored, his name was on the bill, but his several other co-sponsors, to take tax or to threaten nonprofits, 501c3s, with several limitations, even losing their tax-exempt status if they supported political candidates from the pulpit, I guess, which is, you know, a phrase that the church would stand behind them. And so that went into effect and created the IRS policy that, although I think in the history of that, there haven't been that many violations or that many actions taken on the part of, there was one church that lost its tax-exempt status, and I can't remember their name. It was some time ago, for supporting a political candidate. But the point is that, and President Trump tried his first term to eliminate this, but now in his second term, he and others have moved to make this change. And that's kind of where we're going to start. Now, where we end up is going to be Holy Spirit. But I'm going to throw this out then to the team here, and everybody has done a little research, so we're going to be talking. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to shut up, and then somebody else will talk.
Well, you forgot to introduce all three of us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
so
I'm
that's
sorry.
Why I was, you were so excited about that, what we're talking about today. I was like, I forgot who I am. I need to know who I am here.
All right. Let me back up. You've already heard what we're going to be dealing with. I violated tradition, which is something you don't do. I know,
for you.
It's unusual. Well, I was so focused on this, and we were talking. All right.
No worries, David.
All right,
no
everybody,
worries.
Put on hold. All right, your pros or your cons, and the bubbling up that's already started in your psyche. And let me introduce our team. First, starting with the one whose hand signals I did not interpret properly.
Sorry, listeners, I was giving hand signals like, why? Or don't you remember we're still in the studio with you?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
He was just continuing on with the conversation that we were having before we went on air. And it's like, I don't think he remembers he's supposed to announce who we are.
That's why I was pointing to myself and all of us. He's like, what are you doing, Ann? But good morning,
good morning.
Listeners.
This
God
is Ann Limhoko, who is speaking now. And
yes,
always good
morning,
to have
everybody.
You, Ann. And And then at the end of the table is Stephanie Jacobson.
That's
Way
me.
Stephanie.
How good morning. Good morning, everyone.
And then the bringer of donuts, the a man revered in many corners of America because of his singular gift and bringing that wonderful treat.
Love from the heart.
Love from the heart. It is
love
truly that Keith Masters.
For
thank
the belly.
You. Yeah, and it stays. It's a gift.
It's shrinking.
It gets the gift that keeps on giving. Every time I tighten my belt, I gotta add a hole in the anyway. But we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry again. I apologize.
No.
It's
been,
my team.
But it's
You're
been
so
that
important
kind of
to me.
Morning, David. I mean, yeah. I've had the same kind of morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me
yeah,
too.
So it's just been yeah.
But you know what? We're all prayed up in here. Yeah. So
we are
not,
all prayed up.
We're not going to worry about that.
Let's see how the Holy Spirit unveils this program.
Well, it's going to be Spirit-led.
It is. That's all
you
we
know,
want.
I have outlined kind of the point we're going to begin talking on. Where we end up, I have no idea. But at any rate, now again, I'm going to throw this out to the team and see who catches the ball and wants to throw it back.
Let's not all talk at once.
Yeah.
You, you introduce the topic,
away,
David.
Yeah.
You introduce the topic.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth telling our listeners, if they don't know why this happened, it was as a result of a lawsuit. Okay. So basically, the National Religious Broadcasters.
Yep.
Isn't that awesome? The National Religious Broadcasters and two churches, and then also another religious nonprofit, they sued the IRS in 2024. And they did that because they were challenging the constitutionality of the Johnson Amendment on First Amendment free speech and free exercise of religion grounds. And that the plaintiffs, so the ones that I just said, argued that applying the Johnson Amendment to religious nonprofits violated the federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And it's worth saying that President Trump, back in 2016, when he first ran, already campaigned saying that he wanted to get rid of the Johnson Amendment. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
8, 9 years ago, Keith, remember?
Yep.
So
it was one of his first questions was, why is the church so fearful? What's going on here? I don't think he, it didn't even cross his mind because he wasn't probably involved with too
much
of the church.
Yep.
And so there was not a lot of conversation going on. So he's like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And he was very, very bold, really. Like, what are you guys doing? So it became relevant to him that he was going to change this amendment.
My wife asked me yesterday, what are we talking about? What are we discussing this morning? And I let her know about the Johnson Act and what we were talking about. And she goes, I remember when we went to church on the Sunday before the election that the pastor was not able to speak of who he endorsed as the candidate, but to follow the Bible and who is walking in biblical truth as a candidate. So that's what he said. He said, I can say this, but I can't say that.
Yes.
For fear of losing his tax-exempt status.
You know what's sad is this Johnson Amendment was, 1954?
Yeah.
And like David said, there's only been one church that actually has been penalized from the IRS.
In 71 years.
But the enemy has used the introduction and the establishment of this amendment to silence the churches, because the churches have been silent. And we've been saying this on this show, so it's not anything new. But the church actually is able to say a lot more than what they have been doing, and it's because of fear of the Johnson Amendment.
Yeah.
Separation of church and state is false. That's not even in our Constitution.
Nope.
That is a letter to the Danbury Baptist that Thomas Jefferson wrote because he didn't want the Baptist to have the government infringe on their religion. And so then the world has twisted it to say that the church and the government should be separate.
Surprise.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, that number one, some pastors don't know the truth of separation of church and state. Number two, we are able to, and when I say we, I mean churches, pastors, I'm going to put myself in that realm. We're able to engage in lobbying. We're able to give out voter guides. Okay, you can't go to the pulpit and be like, okay, I am a pastor and I'm endorsing this candidate. You can't do that. But you can give voter guides. You could talk about the dangers of abortion. You could talk about gender you know, mutilation is bad. Mm-hmm. And you could do all that. Mm-hmm. But the pastors have taken this Johnson Amendment to silence them completely, which is wrong. And the enemy has used it. So I pray that with what has happened, and I don't think it's solidified, that's what Keith said, that this will actually get the churches and the pastors to speak more boldly.
And we'll talk about this a little bit more, but fear is the underlying current here. And what does the enemy use? I mean, he uses fear to separate, and then in separation, these pastors, not only the pastors, but even, you know, the people sitting in the pews, we become complacent because you don't want to fight against something that looks so big. How can you go up against this? And in reality, we were talking about this before we got on the air, that the church is one of the most unified bodies that is able to move things, because we do have a foundation and a truth that doesn't change.
Yeah.
And so what culture does is it tries to get down in those cracks and crevices and where those little fears come in, and it separates us to make us feel like we're alone. We're the only one that feels this way. The first thing that we do as Christians is to tell someone they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do with these pastors. You're not alone. We need to undergird them.
Yes.
To say, you know what? We're here for you, and we're sitting here every Sunday or every Wednesday or whatever it is that you're there, or during the week when you're praying for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't get off onto that right now. We'll pull that in later. But I want to say something, Anne, to you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for doing your research, because
we
some
all
of
do
that
research.
No. I mean, you bring in that backdrop, and I thank you for that, because sometimes I don't go that deep, and I love the fact that you.
Praise God
that you do that. So, listeners, you're very it's a very good thing that we have her on our team here to do that background.
Thank you, Stephanie. So, I think that the three of us,
and
David, you know, under the leadership of David, we all bring different skills, and
we do.
Love it.
But that backdrop is really good to hear.
What upsets me is we have on average, and this was 2 years ago, so I apologize if these statistics are a little old, but we have on average 350,000 churches. Okay. And for now 70 years since the introduction of the, if I'm doing my math right, since
you are
the introduction
71,
of 71 years, only one church, and this is a church in Binghamton, New York, who published a full page newspaper ad criticizing Bill Clinton during the 1992 presidential campaign.
Good grief.
And it's only that one church that is penalized by the IRS. But this Johnson Amendment has put a fear that Stephanie talked about, fear, which we're not to live in fear, Keith, right? We're to live power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
And it silenced the church. And we're not only blaming pastors. We ourselves who are sitting in this studio have a responsibility to speak up. And that's why partly the Lord has called us on this radio show to speak up and say the hard things. Like, how could you go before God, and how do you explain your silence if you're not talking about stuff in the culture that is wrong, that is the enemy's going after our kids? I mean, it's so evident that we are supposed to speak up. We as a church are supposed to counter culture. We're not supposed to adapt to the culture. We are going to look differently than the culture. Right?
Exactly.
Sorry.
We're supposed to.
Here she goes.
Come on, Keith.
Well, we're supposed to look. Look like Christ.
I'm listening.
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
What we say, what we do, our whole lives in the church, and as the church moves out from its buildings from Sunday to go through Monday through Saturday, we are to bring Christ to the world and to bring his truth. Now, in particular, on this point, we have to also, when the church is doing what the Lord wants it to do, we're also to point out both the blessings and the ills in our society, the things we're doing right, the things we're doing not right. And sometimes that is going to involve pointing at people who by their choices, by their lifestyles, by their policies and their platforms, are not bringing godly actions, godly policies to the culture. And we are, in fact, I have three scriptures here about what we're supposed to do with the truth as God's people.
Mm.
Isaiah, this is Isaiah 45:19. I do not speak in secret in the land of darkness. I do not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. This is God's now. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. And the people of God, when they're listening to God, he's going to call us to do that into our culture. Zechariah 8:16. And this is, again, the word of God. These are the things you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. And I will say as an aside, the word gates in Scripture refers to government. Because all big government took place in the gates of the city.
Yeah.
And this is where the people would often meet with leaders and especially the king.
Mm-hmm.
So government and gates go hand in hand. Third, from Ephesians, Paul writes for Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood. Now, Paul was a great guy to talk about discipleship. He hammered discipleship into the lives, the minds and the hearts of the people, the churches he founded.
Yep.
Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now, all of this points to our role, and we come to something like this, and what I said earlier, there are times when the church has to take a stand when it comes to individuals that are going to have an impact on the culture. And when God leads us to become aware either of their incredible goodness and their incredible use to God, or the opposite, we are also called to utter words of truth concerning those people. And we haven't done that in the longest time.
I like that you brought up Ephesians, because I was just about to bring up Ephesians. So we're moving in the Spirit together.
Yeah, amen.
I read this in Ephesians yesterday during my devotions, Ephesians 5. I've been camped on Ephesians for so long, but there's so much truth in Ephesians. Ephesians 5, verses 8, and I'm going to go through a couple of verses. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So these are mandates that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, that we are to expose, okay, deeds of darkness. And then we are supposed to also live in the light. And the light consists of truth. How do you live in the light if you're living in all these lies that are coming at us and you're not exposing the lies?
And look how much more that we are, those lies are so able to penetrate our families, our homes, our children.
Mm-hmm. Look what's going on in California. I mean, the lies over
which
there.
Ones? Right.
Which
ones? I know which ones.
But, you know, nobody wants to be obedient to the law. They want to make up their own set of rules over there. So that's, you know, a lie that they're listening to from, I believe, Governor Newsom, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was on the Gospel of John with everything that's going on and what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I just wanted to bring up, you know, for this election, the nation was praying for a change.
Yes.
The nation came together. The church came together. And the result of that was this election.
Yes.
The result of that was their prayers were answered.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So they didn't do it. They didn't do it that way in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much up against him.
Yes.
And now in 2024, they brought up, it brought up, and I think the, what's the word that I'm looking for? The assistance that President Trump received, because he's got the House, he's got the Senate, and he's got himself. So, and he's got God on his side. There's no question about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how the church came together and prayed for the change that happened in 2024.
Yes,
I think what we're seeing too is the government is there. I mean, we obviously have to deal with the government all the time, but God is really changing the churches. It's not really about the changing in the government, even though it is, but I'm watching from the inside, I'm watching some things happen in the government that is actually bringing light back to the churches.
Right, right,
which
exactly.
Which is very, very odd to see, because we've been so much, you know, separation church and state, and it's like, wait a minute, this amendment has just been turned over. I mean, the timing on this, that's how I see God, his timing. And I think we're out of time. We're going to be taking a break.
Thank you for that. Wow, I got him trained now. Yeah,
no worries.
We'll go ahead and we're going to take a break. And yeah. I will tell you, when we come back, if you want to call in, if you have a comment or a question,
yes, please
you're
call.
Welcome to do that. 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And if I remember, and it's possible that I will, I'll make this invitation when we come back. Hmm. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to A Biblical Response. As I'd promised, I'm going to remind you, you can call in if you have a question or a comment. I know that usually most of the topics we cover, you either receive with great joy or abdominal pain, one of the two. But anyway, you might want to process some of that. 772-221-1100 is the number to call. 772-221-1100. Back at it.
Yeah. So you brought up a scripture earlier that kind of pushed on me a little bit. Zechariah 8 and 8:16. And it says these, speak the truth to one another, render in your gates judgments. And I loved what you said about that. And as you were talking about, that's where the government was done mm-hmm. in that day.
That at the city gates.
At the city gates.
Yes.
And we always talk about the pastors being gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. And I've you know, you kind of conjured this thing up in your mind about who they are and what gate are they keeping, you know. And so what is their responsibility in this?
Mm-hmm.
The gatekeeper was obviously someone who was facilitating mm-hmm. the governmental things that were going on back in that time. And so
kind of like a mayor or like a
that
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay. This is off the cuff right now, but I just
yeah.
conjuring up this thing about what is the church and what is the gatekeeper. They're responsible, but they're not the ones that move the government.
Yeah.
The people in the pews are the ones that yeah. are truly the ones that make up
the church.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the push and the so if people are not taking that on themselves, we've got gatekeepers and that's wonderful. And we can sit here and talk about the pastors and what they need to do. But I'm calling it to the church.
This is
the
good.
Big C church, because if we don't stand,
mm-hmm.
then how can we? Then we'll fall.
I'm likening this to we the people.
Hmm.
Okay, so
yes.
if we the people do not...
We are the government.
We are the government. If we the people don't check our rulers, our presidents, our leaders, then they're going to continue to do what they're doing. So I like the analogy you're making. The church needs to rise up and check the pastors.
And how are the... We were talking about this before the break, too, how it's... Almost the government is, there's portions of the government that are actually pushing back towards the churches and saying, hey, we need your help.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that happening? Why is it actually happening. Of course, it's God, and I understand that. But I believe that we have seen the need to go to the ballot box. I would commend the church for what they're doing. I don't want to just bash them all the time, because I feel like we are waking up.
Yeah.
And that there is a movement mm-hmm. that is real and alive in this nation. And mm-hmm. so I don't want to just bring all this... I like to try to say, kind of like my dad, I kind of like to make things happier and be an encourager to people. So I would encourage the church today. It's not just about the pastors. It's about us being able to do what I think is we've put in godly people into these places in government, and it's starting to open up. But that's God, and that's right, God speaking right. to each individual heart to go and be a voice wherever it is.
Well, and you can see the work, you can see God at work through the government.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Right. So they just dismissed, what, 1,300 people yesterday or 2 days ago?
Are you talking from, Yeah, if they were dismissed from an agency.
Right,
I apologize.
Well,
the State Department.
State Department.
You're
State
talking
Department.
About,
yeah.
Yes, our
so, but
Rubio.
So, right, so the government is shrinking. So let's, you know, if we can take a look at what the government was with Biden, with President Biden, and what the government is with President Trump as he's shrinking the government to give the church more exposure also at the same time, because they're not clamping down on the church. They're giving the church the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started with the Johnson Amendment, mm-hmm. right, one of the things is that it's saying that, you know, during the Trump administration that nobody's going to be complaining about one of the pastors, you know, talking about one of the candidates. So
uh-huh.
God is opening up doors here.
He is.
And the thing and the scripture that comes to me mm-hmm. is Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. And it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Mm.
For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if because you can apply that to the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
You can apply that to the whole nation. And instead of the disruptions that we're having, to take a step back and to look at what's going on and how the truth is moving forward. The truth is moving into the darkness.
Yes.
And it's overtaking mm-hmm. the darkness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can see it as clear as day.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely
praise
amazing.
God.
Praise God. How God is actually working here.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? How the hand of God is moving. And with President Trump saying that he truly believes that God spared his life, you know, to bring America back to restoration and to make America great again,
mm-hmm.
because it's a blessed nation. It mm-hmm. is a blessed nation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go into Deuteronomy chapter 28.
The blessings,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's for the nations,
yeah.
right? And we are, I believe we are experiencing... I went into Proverbs 15 before. Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty.
Mm.
Send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will tend to many nations, but will borrow from none. So I believe that this is what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And it's just with, and this is where you brought this up, Stephanie, it's from the Johnson Amendment that you see what's really starting to happen here in this nation.
Yeah, one of the things that I looked at last night when I was doing my research was, or one thing that came to my mind was something that my folks used to tell me that I'd hear them say, that is a very slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and looked at the timeline of course, everybody knows that I'm you know, I deal with abortion and deal with the healing of many, many women and men in that aspect. And I went back to look at the timeline from the Johnson Amendment and what had taken place that was astronomical
mm-hmm.
and things that could really hurt this nation that was big. I mean, there's lots of little things underneath that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1954, the Johnson Amendment came into effect. And then in the next decade, 1962, prayer was removed from the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1973, which is the next decade, mm-hmm. Roe v. Wade was put into
mm-hmm.
effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that slippery slope didn't look like that big of a deal I mean, you know, you don't think of it as being that big of a deal, mm-hmm. but especially like the church, why would we allow mm-hmm. the government, which we are the government, mm-hmm. to remove something that mm-hmm. was so stabilizing for youngsters, mm-hmm. which is prayer.
Yeah.
Okay. Why yeah. would we have allowed that to happen? And I know that's a whole nother ball game that we could go down, but that happening, I believe, brought issued in the Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, it's a slippery
slope. Just kept
you
going.
You open the door just a little, and the enemy comes in more and more. And we, as a church, are responsible because we did not push back.
We did not.
It's
push
a reflection. It's a reflection of the church.
And as a point of fact, think about for a minute the one issue of the Johnson Amendment. I wasn't aware of that, by the way. I was 4 years old when that was passed, mm-hmm. so I wasn't paying much attention then. Mm-hmm. But the point is that. If you think the constitutional protections that we're supposed to have, the freedoms that we're supposed to enjoy, if you look, the things that are now coming out, many of those things that were put in place decades ago, but that to one degree or another infringe on our constitutional rights, mm-hmm. and the Johnson Amendment, of course, flies right against the First Amendment, mm-hmm. that incrementally over the last several decades— our rights have been eroded.
Yes.
And we're now beginning to see...
Quietly.
Well, nobody raised
an issue. Nobody's paying attention. Right.
Because in great part, the people who were involved in this are lawmakers. And they've been passing laws that have, to one degree or another, infringed on our rights. This being a prime example.
Not getting published.
Well, at a certain point... if it's not getting out there, people don't know it.
Right.
But now we see that's getting out there.
And that's how the enemy works.
And that's because of the rise of citizens and journalism, because
yeah.
you cannot trust the fake news, the legacy yeah. media yeah. that is owned by people with a different agenda. So
it all is working together. Mm-hmm. I mean, as God works together for those, who are called, I mean, he for our good and his yes. glory, we've also got an adversary that's working against us. And yeah. so, and working against him, and that's, I was reading too about the RS filing, and it said that it went on to compare the political endorsements by churches to a family discussion. So that's kind of how the IRS is saying the church is a family talking about, family issues and things that they agree with and don't agree with. And it's just a conversation. They're mm-hmm. not telling them how to vote, just giving them, and it's essentially what we've been able to do. They're just telling us now that it's okay to do it. And I hate the fact
that's what I brought up in the beginning.
I know the IRS has to actually, I mean, who are they that they're the ones that are telling us that we can and can't?
Are we more fearful of the IRS, or are we more fearful of the Lord who we have to stand, before?
And we may have to, yeah.
I mean, that's sad.
Yeah. We're experiencing the downside of big government. The yeah. bigger the government gets, the more it's going to run your life and tell you what to do.
That's why it's yeah. not supposed to
even
be.
Even when the foundational documents that establish that government are opposed to the decisions that are being made by government.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, and this is where this is supposed to be, mm-hmm. and I'm quoting now from Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. from his second inaugural address, where mm-hmm. that phrase, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Yeah.
This is this is God's intention for America. And I will say this with all truth and all energy. God is restoring America slowly but surely. I mean, obviously not as fast as I would like him to do it.
We would like
finish it next week, God.
I want it now.
Got a timing, but he's restoring America to the nation that he birthed, that he created 249 years ago.
Yeah, that lawsuit was brought, and the purpose of the lawsuit was... it was hindering the freedom of speech.
Yeah.
So from 1954 to 1924, to 2024, right? 24 is when they brought the suit.
Oh, okay.
So to say that you're hindering my freedom of speech all those years, the enemy kept silent. The enemy kept
them
silent.
That's what I said in the beginning of this program.
Right.
It's why haven't the pastors already been speaking up? I mean, and I don't want to always come off as me just pointing at the pastors. Keith, you know, Stephanie, mm-hmm. David. But the church, why have we abdicated our role in allowing the culture, allowing the world, and eventually allowing the enemy to rule and to take some territory?
Okay, so let's go back to the Israelites.
Yeah.
Think about when Moses was up on the mountain, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't focusing on God like they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the problem. It isn't.
So when we lose our eyes on the Lord, is what you're saying.
Culture. Yeah. Everybody starts looking to the culture, and you're exactly right.
Well, we're looking to the culture. We're looking to ourselves like, this is an easier road. Right. I can just go down this road, and we're not the gatekeeper of our own homes.
No, but
we're not the gatekeeper of our own heart. Mm. And God
it's what
says,
being pushed out there.
What does God say in the Word? He says, to guard our hearts. That's not just against sexual promiscuity or whatever. That's against anything
little
that is
close the doors.
And I used to read that as, oh, God's gonna keep my heart now that I'm in Him. You know, I've got this God that's just gonna protect me, and He does. But He also gives us a responsibility, and that's what I go back to every time on this show is self-governance, guys, self-governance. And I'm not good at it myself at times. I struggle with it. But that's the struggle of the gospel. What are you going to do? You have, if you want choices, there's your choices. You're either going to self-govern or you're not.
So why don't you explain what self-govern means? Because I've had a conversation with your brother about this as well, Stephanie, and I'm looking at your father in the studio. But self-governance means, from what I understand, is abiding by the principles laid to us in the Bible. If we don't steal, if we don't do this, we wouldn't have a need for so much government.
Right.
If we function within the parameters the Lord has given us. Do you know what I mean?
You know what those are?
And it's established. It's the center is faith.
It is.
And God. And
it is.
And if that is not the center, we're backwards.
Well,
and that's what's happened to our society.
If you have a society that is godly, that is biblically, scripturally sound at the foundations of it.
Yes.
All the moral tenets that we ascribe to, that we find in Scripture, what God has said, this is the people I want you to be. And if you let me, I'll bless you to be those people. And that's the kind of culture that we can govern ourselves a high degree.
So self-governance is very simple. It's simplistic. Yeah. It's not something that you have to go take 5 hours of an online show or whatever study.
Yeah.
It is what it says. It's that God has set up good boundaries. Mm-hmm. If you don't have boundaries, it's going to be hard for you to self-govern anything. So first of all, find out what your boundaries are and go to the Word of God for that. But there's also help that you can have good boundaries. And if you're not crossing someone else's boundaries, I'm not going to go steal from my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That means if I do go steal from my neighbor, then he does have retribution against me. Mm-hmm. He can take retribution against me, and he has to have help with that, because if he comes back at me, that's how the government works. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple. And so it's not as hard as what we think. And yet, I want what I want, and I want that piece of bread that person has, and so I'm going to go steal that piece of bread from that person.
You're coveting.
And so what?
Which is
idolatry. What do we do? We
idolatry.
Go, there
the
you
word
go.
Says,
and it is self-idolization, which means it's self. That's what they did at the bottom of the mountain. They were idolizing themselves over God.
And they built the calf.
And it is so simplistic.
Well, besides which, God wasn't moving as fast as they wanted to. They were tired of being in the desert. They missed what little comforts they had in slavery in Egypt. And so they wanted to make a God. They made the God so they could tell that God what to do. I mean, this is how we generally deal
with control.
Idolatry. If I'm an idolater, it's because I want something to work for me in a lot quicker way than God is working. Because God's plan is perfect, but He's going to do it in His own time. And we're anxious, and we're We want self-gratification. You know, that generation is very much like ours today.
You know, we're either self-gratification or we're completely just leaving it to someone else to figure it out. Mm. You know, we want to get it done now or I'm just going to go away and not do anything and let everybody else handle it. You know,
I'm coming to John 14:6, mm-hmm. where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Mm. And Jesus is the way. And the distraction in the book of Job, right? We still have Satan coming and God asks him, "Where are you coming from roaming to and fro?" Right. Mm-hmm. So we know that we have the battle. It's not that easy because the battle is real, and we all understand that. But it's for us to entrench, stand on the rock of the Lord, stand on the rock in those times. And Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And that is big because we were talking about the abortions before, but Jesus is life. So if you are supporting mm-hmm. anti-life, you are not walking with Jesus because Jesus is life.
Mm. Amen.
So, you know.
Gotta take a break.
Okay.
And welcome back to A Biblical Response. This is the last portion of our program for today. And we've been talking about, we started with the change in the IRS rule to allow churches to express their support for political candidates and what that means. And we're still going to roll with that. Anne, did you want to pick up on something?
I did want to kind of unpack a little of what that means. Not a little, but I don't think the church knows
That's a two-sided coin.
I don't think the church knows what just happened. I know it's not finalized yet because the judge still has to approve the agreement. But I just want to kind of – there's something I read in Coffee and COVID. Do you guys read Coffee and COVID every day? It's by Jeff Childers. He's an attorney in Gainesville, Texas.
Okay.
And he said, and I'm going to read his words, "This single rule change could completely reshape the entire landscape of how America votes, especially over time. It's not just a technical shift. It's a structural rebalancing of political influence, moving influence away from elite institutions, tech platforms, and campaign consultants, and toward, basically, our church's pastors, many of whom already have weekly access to hundreds of thousands of voters." So this is a statistic that he said. So he said that nearly half or about 40% of U.S. adults say they attend religious services at least once or twice a month. That's roughly 130 million people. Even if just 10 to 15% of regular attendance churches begin actively endorsing candidates, that's a massive national influence.
That's
network.
Why they're afraid of the church having a voice.
Yeah. Because but let's wake up because we're there.
It always has been.
I
and
know.
That's the problem.
You know, wake up.
Know, yeah, we were talking about socialists, right? 40%, they said, of the young adults are socialists.
Oh,
which is
that.
What we were talking about last week in New York, where what's going on.
Oh, yeah, but
there.
I got to tell you
so
something.
So the churches do have to speak out over there.
We're seeing the youth step up. I'm seeing the youth step up in my circles all over the place. So
praise
I wanted,
God for that.
You're right, Keith. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm watching the young people be vocal, and I love that.
Right.
And, you know, the scripture always also says, I'd rather you'd be hot or cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lukewarm, right. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Right. And I'm thinking, I would rather see where their hearts are, because if you can, at least you can have a conversation with them and give them hope instead of, the rhetoric and stuff that this.
You know, I would like to know what was on the pamphlet when they printed that pamphlet up in the church in New York when Bill Clinton was running for president.
Oh.
I would love to know. Right?
The
does anybody have that? Right.
We could look it up.
Can
but
anybody look at that? Yeah.
But it's from a newspaper ad.
You know,
1992.
Yeah. So we could find it.
Hold it. Wait.
Yeah.
A newspaper ad or a.
So it's a church published a newspaper ad. Okay, criticizing Bill Clinton, and it was during his 92 presidential campaign. So it's a church that took out an ad in a newspaper criticizing Bill Clinton.
Okay.
So you can look it on Microfiche or something.
Still have that?
I don't know.
I would wonder what those criticisms would be if they were, if they were for biblical reasons or if they were for personal reasons.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I would hope that it's his stances, what he's running on, because the personal stuff I don't think should.
Yeah, I got it.
He had a shady past, and while he was running for president, he had a shady past behind him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trail there, but we won't go down
that.
We're
not going down.
But
that
let me bring it back.
Yes.
But just
so Keith looks for this 1992.
No.
The influence we as a church, Big C Church, has, if this actually goes through, is huge. We can determine how our nation is shaped in a way that has never been before. And that's why Trump was like, why are you Christians and churches so silent?
Yeah, he was confused.
Yes.
He was very confused.
Who was confused?
Trump was
confused. Yeah, because he's like, you guys are so big, but you're not speaking up.
Okay, so how many did you say? How many churches or how many people did you say is involved? It's 130 million. Is that what you said?
Let me look it up.
You're doing that, let me interject. I found
130 million.
An article online that has exactly to say about that newspaper ad.
Really?
Yeah.
Here we go.
It says I can't speak anymore. Binghamton, New York Church, known as the Church at Pierce Creek, later renamed Landmark Church, placed full-page ads in USA Today and the Washington Times criticizing Bill Clinton during his 1992 presidential campaign. The ads, headlined "Christian Beware," asserted that Bill Clinton was promoting policies in rebellion to God's laws.
Okay.
Specifically, the advertisements accused then-Governor Clinton of supporting abortion on demand, the homosexual lifestyle, and the distribution of condoms by two teenagers in public schools. The ad also asked, do we really want, as president, a man of this character who supports this type of behavior?
Wow. You know what?
I got to say
that. I love that. I love that. But I think the legal way to have done it, because apparently that broke the Johnson Amendment, is to talk about just the policies at the pulpit and just be like, you know, these policies are bad, and look at the candidate who represents those policies.
Not accusing an individual candidate.
We're always supporting voting biblical values.
Yes.
And the people who support them.
Yes.
And so it's one step further just to identify the people that do.
Yeah. I want to go back to the $130 million.
Yes, it is $130
million.
Yep.
So we only have 333 million approximately people in the United States.
Yep.
So if you think about that, now that's a large number to me. I think about affecting that many people with just my voice, and it ain't going to happen. So there's got to be more people talking, right?
Yeah.
But think about 130 million as opposed to 333 million. And then the voting, you know, the voting percentage, if we could get the voting percentage up in the churches and realize, again, their self-governance and their right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't complain about it on Monday morning, being that Monday morning quarterback, if you're not going to step up to the plate.
I think that's how we got the mandate from President Trump, is that the churches did come out in force.
No, I agree with you.
I believe that's what happened.
It's improving.
And that's the result of what happens when the church moves.
But I got to tell you something. I think there were other people besides people in the churches that were voting for him just on... You know,
it was like common sense stuff.
It was, and it was financial too. There, people like their pockets, and there was a lot of economy stuff that was going down the tubes. And now they're not so sure. Now they're looking at the things and going, "Oh no, what'd we do?" But it's like you got to clean things up before you can get it on the right path. So,
just throwing back a stat here, you talk about 130 million people basically that could be influential as church.
40%, yep.
Well, I asked my favorite AI generator, how many of the 330 million people in America, how many are actually eligible to vote?
Okay.
Of that, 236.4 million are eligible to vote, roughly, give or take.
That makes it even better.
So now you apply that to the 130 million, it makes it a little more impactful.
Right.
Right?
Right. I mean, it's the largest body of anything that is, what's the word I'm looking for? Not conducive, but it's a C word and I can't.
That's okay. I can't think of it.
Don't
either.
Even make me go there right now. My brain is almost dead. But
the point is, it's a huge.
Yes, it is. It's put to, you know, it's this body of people that is.
Well, that's not here. that's out there.
Okay. It's this body that is put together, that God has brought this body together. We are chosen to do what is good, right, and just.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage everyone to take that on. Don't just be complacent. Do not be complacent in this. This is important. So...
We have a little time. We can take one call if you want to call at 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to say something about the slippery slope again. That amendment, the Johnson Amendment, did not affect, obviously, abortion like straight on, because it wasn't a big thing back then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that there was an agenda underneath all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where does that agenda come? Because we always talk about they. Who are they? Well, in the biblical terminology, they is the enemy. Mm-hmm. They is something that has been around since the beginning of time. And so I believe that agenda is not even...
Mm-hmm.
Human. I think that there's a spiritual aspect to that that brings it to a level of... We got to get on our knees. We've got to get on our knees and be willing to fight it that way as well. So the ballot box is important. We've got to do our duty, you know, and our American-given, our God-given right.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have, if you are a praying person, to get on our knees and pray and ask for God's will to be done. And sometimes it doesn't come in the way that we want it to come. It comes in a way of, you know, hard times and and things that don't look so good. So
so if Christians are just sitting there in their home and not getting involved, hypothetical, then don't expect the ways of God in our society if the people of God refuse to get involved in the government of society. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I've often said this, and I'll say it again so that I continue to say, often say this.
There you go.
My experience, I was ordained, as I keep saying, in a mainline church. And when I think of mainline church, I think of the, you think of the, when you think of Christian churches, these are the names that come up, right? Methodist, Episcopal, mm-hmm. Catholic, you know, on and on, Presbyterian, Lutheran, okay. And I went to seminary in 82, so 82 to 85 in that time frame. But by the time I got to seminary, now, thank God I was saved before I went, because a lot of my classmates were not, and they never did get there as far as I know, maybe afterwards. But so I had a very different spiritual perspective going to seminary. I knew God called me to get ordained, and I had to go to a very secular academic institution, which many seminaries in the mainline traditions are. They used to be very spiritual, you know, going back maybe 100 years or more. But over time, culture got into the church. And I saw that. You see, my seminary is very very specific to that. Very much like any other modern mainline seminary, culture was involved so that we were being trained to question the Word of God because it was no longer authoritative by then. And all my classes on biblical stuff, studies, were enamored with the German theologians who developed biblical criticism, which means you don't trust the Word of God. You have to all this other stuff.
That's a problem.
Now, that's a thumbnail sketch of that. Someone may call in and say, that's not exactly, you're not right. But I'm right enough on that because I experienced it. So myself and all my contemporaries, let's say going back 30 years before I was in seminary up until the present day, in a very academic, I won't go any further, but it's very academia without God, okay? So we have a lot of, now guys my age were retired, mostly. But the seminaries continue to produce that kind of pastor. They're very clueless, you know, about
so you're saying the
basic
culture came into the church
realities.
Instead of
well, the problem is
the
we still have a lot of pastors that are clueless about what God is calling his people to be. Now, hopefully some have listened to God, they're praying people, and God's brought them out of the darkness that they were drawn into in their seminary experience.
Yeah.
But so what I'm saying, what I'm trying to get to say is, folks, pray for all the pastors in all the churches, at least in America, because God is moving to make some changes.
Mm-hmm. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, and this is just, the presence of God, to understand that God is there. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.
Mm-hmm. Can I just talk about the Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit inside of you that you need to listen to the most versus some seminary professor, some radio station. Even what we're saying. Even what we're saying, you take it to the Holy Spirit.
That's
who
right.
will either give you affirmation or doubt. Go to the Holy Spirit.
Well, I'll tell you something that I like to do, and this is just my own personal thing, and my pastor says sometimes, I like to go back and read dead people. And I will tell you, the reason that I like to go back and read dead people is they were not as influenced by the culture that we have today.
Dead people. She means people who have been in the past. I'm reading about John and Charles Wesley now.
Okay.
So we're revivalists. But anyway, we have to go.
But some of the things that they've written
people
in the past.
From the past.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have. Okay. No, right. They are not no longer living. But but their words are not as
tainted,
culturized of our culture. And so you can go back and obviously, reading the Word of God, that's the best.
Yep.
Okay, and letting Holy Spirit do what He's going to do.
Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit.
That's it. Well, you know what? You know, we I love how we get started. We just sort of like, you know what I think of us sometimes is that when I was a kid, recess time, right? Everybody bust out of the school, right? Running and jumping and as a whole group. That's kind of how we get started in this, like little kids going to recess. We have a good time with it. We get struggles and all that, but God does use this group, I know. But now,
and this is a big decision that just happened that the conversation was brought up with the IRS,
and we've got to go. So thank you for listening. Tune in next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition.